Hi, I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirl. Fangirls. I'm going to do that again. And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
Special Anniversary Edition.
We've been doing this for a year and I just messed up how to say our own podcast name.
We've been doing this for a year and we've messed up a lot of things in our outtakes, in our intros and outros.
You know what?
Sometimes technical difficulties, sometimes just our own difficulties.
For a good, like, half of the time we've been doing this, we've been doing it internationally, so you know what? I say we've been doing a pretty good job.
We've been doing a very good job. This started as a, like, half-formed drunken idea when we were just both graduated from college and unemployed AF. And look at us a year later.
We, like, literally were at one of our, like, post-grad, like, or no, like, not even post, it was,
senior
like,
senior
week graduation events. And I think you had, like, ordered a glass of scotch. And my ass was like, I have a whole bottle at home. Like, come over. Let's watch a Marvel movie and just, like, drink.
Yeah, because I think I had mentioned how, for whatever reason, Winter Soldier is my most forgettable MCU movie, and you could not let that stand.
I got so mad.
And so we made the plans to drink your scotch. We weren't supposed to finish it, but we did. But drink your scotch and watch Winter Soldier. And we did one of those things.
I truly feel like from the bottom of my heart, that's how that bottle of scotch was meant to go.
That's good. I like that.
Like, I bought it in Scotland just as, like, we went to Scotland. Like, I brought back a bottle of scotch. Like, I'm sure I should have savored that for much longer than I did. But I don't care. Like, I feel like that's just how that particular bottle. I bought it. I had a few glasses by myself. I invited a friend over. We watched a movie that I love, and I was hoping for you to fall in love with all over again. Not again, just for the first time, even though you'd seen it before. And, like, I just feel like that was a good way for that bottle to go. Plus, it, like, birthed this.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And also, for the record, it wasn't, like, a huge whole bottle of scotch. It was, like, a normal. There was, half by the time we got to it?
A little more than half. I definitely didn't drink half of that bottle by myself.
Okay, because I don't remember how big it was, but it wasn't like we were getting super drunk on, like, a whole bottle ourselves. But, you know,
no, it was. I really need to say, like, this isn't like you go to the liquor store and buy the biggest bottle possible to, like, get shit-faced. Mm-hmm. It was, I went to a real, actual distillery in Scotland, and I brought back a bottle for myself. Like, it was a real, proper Scottish, like, whiskey.
Yeah. It was very good.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Shout out to Deanston.
We could get them to sponsor us.
I wish. Honestly, they were a really cool distillery because they were 100%, like, their electricity is 100% run off of, like, a mill.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They produce so much electricity that they sell it back to the city.
Huh. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, from that, hence this episode, it's not going to have any rhyme or reason. It's just our 1 year, and we're just going to talk, and we're going to see what gets said.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, I can really just, like, think about a bunch of episodes that, like, I want to do over again.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing was I needed to watch the movies as well. I think, because our early system, we were still trying to figure it out. And so, like, my job was going to be the review, and then, like, it was going to be half, like, you explain it to me and stuff like that. But I should have watched the movies as well. I'm not a huge marathoner.
So we weren't, like, when we first started, we were recording a lot. And that was because, like, we had just gotten started and we were, like, so excited. And we were like, oh, my God, podcast. Like, let's do this. Like, we were so pumped to be, like, doing it. Like, I think it took us a week to be like, this is what we're doing. And then we got the microphones and then we were sitting in my apartment, like, on my hella comfy beanbag chairs. I'm recording. And so I think, like, that contributed to, like, the like, feeling that we were binging. And at first, it was, like, you had seen most of the Marvel movies. You just didn't want to commit to re-watching them.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I was totally fine with that. Like, we both were. We were like, all right, cool. Like, you won't rewatch it, but it'll be fresh in my head. And, like, we had already envisioned, like, that there would be episodes in which, like, you would be the one who would re... Like, I knew that... We knew early on that you were going to be the one rewatching Doctor Strange and, like, watching Iron Fist Season 1, but I was not because I refuse and I don't like either of those things. But, like, that was our system, and you were going to bring in the articles from, like, when they came out, and we, you know, stopped doing that.
We'll bring it back, but yeah. Yeah. Maybe. We had a whole little system.
We did. But the one time it didn't work was that you had not seen Thor.
Yeah.
And we had recorded an episode of our episode about Thor, and you had not seen Thor.
And it was because something happened with my schedule when it just, it didn't end up working, that I couldn't find Thor for the first thing, and then I wasn't able to, I didn't have time to watch it. And I was going to go to your place to watch it, but then that, and then we were going to record right afterwards, and it fell through. So it just, mostly was my bad scheduling. So I hadn't seen Thor. And did we try and do the episode anyways?
No. So we did the episode. We did it. But we were, again, so early, like, we were recording, like, basically 2 weeks out from the episode. Yeah. So we had time to just, for, literally, we recorded that episode. It, like, exists somewhere, I think.
And yeah, one of us has it.
Quite frankly, I don't even want to look for it, and even just, like, this would be the place where we would be like, insert clip here. But, like,
No. Y'all, it was bad. It was, that was when we realized, like, okay, both of us have to have at least, like, level.
Passing knowledge.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that was that, like, you had seen Ragnarok but hadn't seen the first two Thor movies. And I just remember, like, finishing that episode, and then we put the episode on one of our computers. And I probably the next day texted you and was like, we have to do that again, and you have to watch Thor.
Yeah, no, I remember we both felt weird about it, but neither of us said anything at that moment. And then I think when you was like, we have to redo it, and I was like, thank God. I'm glad we both feel the same way.
Yeah, because I remember just being so upset with it. Because, like, Thor didn't deserve to have, like, such a bad episode, like, on our part. And I just remember being mad at it. Because it was, like, just basically me being like, so this happened. And then you're like,
Yeah.
Like, I was literally just word for word talking about the movie. And, like, you were just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It did not work.
No.
So I'm glad we redid that one. I remember we were both super relieved when we redid that one. There was another one we had to redo. Was it Iron Man? It was one of the Iron Men.
I think it was, like, Iron Man 2.
I think it was Iron Man 2. That was another one where we finished, and we were like, I guess it's okay, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, some time passed, and we were like, I have some free time. Do you want to redo? Can we please redo Iron Man 2?
I mean, it was early on in our podcast. We didn't have, like, a whole set clue of what we were doing, so we were just kind of like going for it, and we felt weird about it, and we just were like, no, let's do it again, like, let's just go for it again. And it might have even just been the first no, it was not the first Iron Man movie.
We were hyped for Iron Man 1.
Oh no, because I was trying to think, I was like, no, like, we probably, it was probably the maybe the first one, because our very first one that we did, and but then I remembered all the, like, that we had to edit. Because I was keeping the mic so close to my face that anytime I made a pee sound, it would pop so hard in our ears. And we had to literally, like, go in and, like, adjust the levels on every time I said, like, Pepper Potts. And it was a nightmare.
Why did we think that was a good idea for you to hold the mic? You did that in Hulk, too. I remember that was I was like, why? Who thought this was a good idea? Why did either of us just let this happen? Because
we did
them both
at the same time, right? We did Iron Man and then we did Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea, like, what... We're both journalism students. Like, we've worked with microphones before. But in my head, I was like, no, I need, I want it to be the clearest audio it can possibly be. It has to be close to my face, like.
Right.
But it was too close.
That was so close. Man. Yeah.
Absolutely too close. Oh, my God.
So but I will say, for our whole track record, two redos isn't terrible. And I'm glad we redid them.
The you only thing I say, wish we could redo?
Yeah, there's one I wish we could redo.
Guardians of the Galaxy. That's such a bad episode.
Yeah, we're sorry, y'all.
Like, we gave you permission to skip it. Like, it's such a bad episode.
Because, like, the movie, it's not our favorite, and we talk about how much we're not, like, super strong about it, but it did deserve a better episode than that.
Like, we literally just went character by character, and we were just like, Rocket, I love Rocket! And then we were just like, okay, move on. Groot, we love Groot!
Right.
Okay, move on, Drax.
Right.
Like, that was literally our episode.
Guardians deserved a better episode than what it got.
It was definitely one of those ones where we should have been... It should have gotten that same treatment that Iron Man 2 and Thor got, in which we gave it a day and we were like, no, let's do that again.
Yeah, I don't remember. But was that one of our first international episodes?
No. I was just in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, you were. Anyways. Okay, not only redos, but can we talk about our favorite editing moments? I love leaving in the stupid little, like, outtakes that we have sometimes, especially at the end. There's been some fun editing.
There has been some fun editing. I think the editing I love the most is just, like, there was a solid time when we were recording where we just didn't have any mistakes.
Yeah.
Because early on, there'd be a ton of mistakes, and we would just go back, and we'd be like, oh, say that again, and then go back, and then it would never sound like we had cut it naturally, and it was just this whole thing. So there was, like, a solid, like, I don't know, I feel like it was, like, 8 episodes at least, where I got to just sit and listen and not edit anything.
My favorite is whenever we do have technical difficulties, and it goes on for at least, like, a minute, it's not even, but, like, it's just a solid 30 seconds that I just cut, throw away, and we're good. I just, like, bite.
Yeah, I know that no one else is interested in this at all, but I love when we mess up for, like, a good, like, 2 minutes.
Yep.
Because then I can just go, okay, gone.
Right.
Yeah. I also think over the course of the last year, we've gotten a lot less, like, stiff in, like, when we're recording. Because I feel like at first it was like, this is a professional opinion. And, like, I just did some robot movements for y'all. But, like, now it's kind of just like, I don't know. I just love this guy. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Let's just keep going. Like,
right?
Like, sometimes I feel the need to explain the opinion. Sometimes I don't. Like, at this point, do I really need to tell you why I love Tony Stark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think people...
'Cause I don't.
People should be able to figure that out pretty quick. I do appreciate... Because we use Skype, obviously, because Sabrina's in Thailand. All of the hand motions and stuff that we have to explain, that's just podcasting in general. But, like, y'all, Sabrina talks with her hands a lot. It's really funny.
I mean, I am Italian. I also know sign language. I feel like if it's increased since I started teaching, because I'm constantly using my hands talking to my students because they have no idea what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
No idea. So I always have to, like, do something with my hands and, like, make these huge gestures. So, yeah, Lily often sees me just, like, freaking out.
It's a lot of fanning. It's a lot of, like, it's also hot.
It's also very hot. I'm fanning for reasons other than just freaking out. I'm just warm. Like, I'm literally currently sweating.
Yeah. Because the other fun thing about Sabrina being in Thailand is she has to turn off her AC.
Let's turn it on for a second. Want to hear how loud it is? Hold on. Let's just wait. There you go.
Yep.
That's the sound of aircon.
Yep.
My Thai aircon. Well, now it's on. I just want a little breeze.
Yeah, to enjoy this moment. The other thing is, when we were recording in Boston, so when we started the show, my old apartment was next to a highway and
the red line,
the public transportation system in the city, the T. So we could not use my house in any way, shape, or form. So we used Sabrina's, which was better because you weren't by public transportation, but you were still on, like, a busy street.
I was, but, like, you had to walk a bit. Also, the green line is significantly quieter than the red line.
Yeah. Yeah. But there were still
times...
And just
so, like, you all understand, like, the red line is, like, it's more of a traditional subway. But it's super loud.
It's super loud. And also, if you Google MBTA red line right now, you'll see that it's one, the whole system is a mess, but two, red line in particular is suffering right now.
That's not new that the system is a mess.
Yeah, I know.
But the green line is like a trolley that runs above ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make quite as much noise. It's just like almost like another car, honestly, because it has to stop with all the stoplights and it has a million stops. And wow, I'm getting mad about the green line again. So let's move on.
I just remember all the times when we would start a sentence and then someone on a motorcycle would go by your apartment and we just have to, like, sit there and wait.
I feel like on multiple occasions, I just went, that guy has a small dick.
Yeah. Yep. That's somewhere in the archives as well.
Yeah. Because, like, it was very annoying.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. This episode, I feel like, is more for us than for anyone else, just because, like, we're just reminiscing about old times. And that apartment was also so hot.
That apartment was brutal.
So hot. Why did it take us so long to record at Emerson?
Because neither of us wanted to go back.
I even remember you, like, bringing it up and me going, like,
Yeah, I know.
Can we record at BPL?
Yeah, I know. We tried other places to record, but, like, yeah, it was the alma mater that we were trying to escape, but also they had a free library with air conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. My current apartment has air conditioning. We're good now.
Mine technically does, but I don't use it very often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What were we... Oh, also redos that I would want to do. I know I said this earlier, but I feel the need to say it again. I wish we could redo Civil War on my part, because I was not 100% into that episode at the time of recording. I was sick
that
as
makes
hell.
Sense.
I was sick as hell, and I was telling Lily that when we were recording it, I literally was lying down in my bed, and, like, I fell asleep while she was talking.
Like, I remember that.
I'm literally sure that you were saying something interesting, but your silence is what woke me up.
That's fair, too. I mean, like, if you were sick, I'm not gonna hold that against you.
Yeah. Like, I...
Yeah.
I can't, literally, because honestly, like, Civil War has such a bad rap, but I don't hate that movie.
I remember that I was so fascinated with that, because there are elements to Civil War that are good, but I think it just gets bogged down by the parts of it that were bad.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of it is very much like, if these two guys just sat down and talked to each other honestly, they'd be able to come to, like, some sort of consensus, and that just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I actually, so on Tumblr, someone did one of those, like, today I learned posts, And it was like, today I learned that the idiot plot comes from a review, comes from Roger Ebert, right? That's his name?
Oh, the reviewer, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the, you know, the biggest, like, movie reviewer of all time. And he, the idiot plot comes from him, where he said, like, the idiot plot is when any, where the plot could have easily been resolved in 10 minutes if the idiots in the movie had just sat down and talked to each other.
So Civil War, yeah.
Yeah. Which I honestly love that. I love that so much, where it's like, is it even a good story if, like...
It can be resolved. It could have just been resolved,
like, normally if you just sat down for 10 minutes, like, and talked.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that would also, that would make Romeo and Juliet, like, there is an idiot plot in Romeo and Juliet.
The biggest. The biggest. That doesn't even need to be a 5-minute conversation. That's just, like...
10 seconds. Like, yo, Juliet's alive.
Right.
Don't kill yourself.
Ugh. My God. Yeah. Because I don't know, I want to go back at some point, whenever I have time, and I've caught up on all of the shows I'm supposed to see, I do want to rewatch Civil War, and give it another, like, clean slate, like, fair shake, because it asked really interesting questions of the MCU, but then it just got bogged down with all this other stuff, and that's why I was so mad at it.
Yeah, and I like, the thing about Civil War, for me, is that it went from asking this really interesting question about who's held accountable when the Avengers mess up.
Right.
And, like, who gives them the authority to, you know, act on foreign, like, land.
Right.
So it's very interesting, like, that. Also, how do they get to those countries, now that I think about it? Oh, wait, they have a Quinjet?
Yeah, I assume that Stark Industries flies them wherever they need to go.
You still have to go through customs. Like, they still have to land in an airport, don't they?
I don't think so. Going off of, like, the way agents do it, they just find a big field.
I guess.
Or they parachute in.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. There's still a lot of logistics there. Like, all of these countries that they fly into have, like, air.
Right. Yeah.
Remember in the first Iron Man when Tony's, like, testing out a suit and literally the U.S. Army is like, what the hell's that?
Right? It's in military airspace.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway, they went from asking this really interesting question to Bucky drama.
Yeah. And not in the smoothest transition.
And not that I don't love Bucky and, like, Steve's dynamic and relationship, because I do. Mm-hmm. And it's hella gay, and I love that. But, like, the way that the movie ends, it's all about, like, the Winter Soldier again.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I'm not mad to go into Bucky's history. It's just, it's such an abrupt change in the plot to go from, we're fighting right now because we're on opposite sides of this, like, political argument, in which, like, you both have valid, like,
yeah,
sides. So it's like one of those arguments where it is kind of like agree to disagree. Because it's not really going against anyone's fundamental freedoms in that sense. It's just, like, you are sort of, like, a really powerful group of heroes that keeps coming together, and then when a mess happens, who cleans up after that? And who's held accountable for all of those deaths that happen? Like, does Scarlet Witch go to jail now? Like, I don't know. And instead of continuing to answer those questions and ask those questions along those same lines, they just are like, oh, hey, the Winter Soldier, he attacked the Sokovia Accords. Actually, no, he didn't. Also, there's this other guy. Also, he killed Tony's parents. Also, now the three of them are fighting. Also, this was the real civil war the entire time between Tony and Cap over hiding Bucky. And it's like...
Yeah.
So stressful.
Yeah. And I know that, like, it asked the big questions, and there was no way that this movie was going to answer them, but they didn't even make an attempt.
Yeah, and when they find Bucky in that first movie, or in Civil War, Steve doesn't want to bring him in.
Mm.
Steve literally goes to find him to, like, help him escape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you don't even trust the government enough. Like, I get that this is on the heels of the Winter Soldier, in which he literally saw S.H.I.E.L.D. try to kill people before they even did anything. Like, that was a true infringement on, like, individual, like, security and privacy and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was asking huge, awesome questions. Like clearly there are no answers to, but they still asked the question. They still, like, answered it in a way that was like, you know, like, you didn't give me an answer, but I like where you went.
Right.
And then Civil War, directed by the same people, didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even know where I was going with that, you know?
Yeah.
I
also felt like the fight at the airport between the two sides was overamped. Like, I loved it in the trailer, but then when you finally got it in the movie and you got the context, it totally just erased. That was for me when it started erasing the deeper points of just, like, you just want to see all of these super-powered friends fight each other.
Also, here's my other beef, is that so much of these films didn't even build them up as friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get to see them interact in very superficial ways and never in really meaningful ways outside of, like, Cap and Natasha and Sam and Cap. Mm-hmm. And, like, because they interact in that movie a lot. And you got, you know, the Natasha-Clint relationship out of the first Avengers. You saw that meaningful relationship. But all we've ever seen Cap and Tony do is fight.
Yeah.
So, like, watching Civil War, it's not, like, out of the realm of possibility for them to be fighting. And, like I, you know that they have a respect for each other, but are they truly friends? Like, I own the Civil War comics, like the official, like, book that they released with all the Civil War books in there. And it's just, like, literally, it's heartbreaking to see them on the opposite ends of this argument, because you know that there's a history of friendship between the two of them.
Right. So, do you think... I was going to say, how much of what... the way we feel about Cap and Tony, not just us, but, like, the way that, in general, the fans feel, how much of that do you think is projection? Because, yeah, when you look back...
It's totally projection. It's totally projection.
Yeah.
Because if you really look... You sat, like, a 10-year-old down who had no idea about any comic books, like, completely fresh-faced, had him binge, or her, had them, like, binge-watch the entire series, or at least until Civil War, I guarantee you that kid would be like, so what? So what that they were fighting?
Right.
Because we see them fighting in Age of Ultron, we see them fighting in Avengers, we see them fighting in Civil War. Like, every time that they're in a movie together, they're fighting.
Right.
They're even fighting in Endgame.
Truly. I think Endgame and Infinity War, and only in, like, the second half of Endgame, is only when you really see actual kind of
camaraderie.
Yeah. Because before they were always... I don't know. I don't want to say, like, just coworkers, but, like, united front. This is what we got to do. I trust you. I respect you to do it. But, yeah, they were always fighting.
Yeah. Like, so I feel like a lot of that relationship is unearned. And the way that you get that heartbreaking moment from Civil War is by having this person... Cap keep a secret from Tony that deeply affects him.
And then
that breaks your heart because you can see Tony reliving that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
but it doesn't actually come from, like, my heartbreak watching that movie doesn't come from, oh, Tony just, or Steve just betrayed Tony. It comes from, oh, he's reliving this trauma of his parents' death.
Right.
Because, like, what indication do we have that they're friends?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have an indication that they're friends. I just have an indication that they sometimes team up and save the world together.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that some of them aren't going to like each other as much as the others, but traditionally, Steve and Tony have been the dads of the group.
Yeah,
like, in truly. Any iteration of the Avengers, the people who are at the top, the people at the top are always Tony and Steve.
It's
always the two of them.
Yeah.
And there are, like, I've seen panels from the comics where literally, like, the other Avengers are standing around and being like, oh, like, our parents are fighting. Like, you know, like, joking around, like, yeah. Oh, like, the dads are fighting.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just don't get a lot of that in the movies.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's tough because I think a part of the timing, because the Iron Man trilogy ended pretty early on in the MCU when Cap was going to keep going, like, Cap's trilogy was going to keep going and stuff like that. So I think it was harder for them to develop, not develop, but, like, figure out how to write in things around that without making it,
Now
Iron Man's in Captain America.
But do you know how, like, easy it would have been to not even, like, you don't need to even bring Tony in. It literally could have just been, I don't know about you, but after Avengers came out, I remember seeing all of this stuff, like, oh my god, like, now the Avengers are going to move in with each other. They're all going to live in Avengers Tower. It's going to be cool. Like, that's going to be home base. Like, right, it could have been stuff like that. Instead of Steve relocating to DC, he could have been living in Avengers Tower. Or, like, you could have seen Tony's influences in Steve's life. Like, by the time Winter Soldier comes around, like, maybe, like, he's using a Stark phone instead of the little notebook. And it's because, like, clearly Tony gave him that phone and he's trying to, like, help him, ease him into this instead of whatever. And, like, there are just, like, little things that they could have added in there. Like, in Winter Soldier, Natasha was wearing a freaking arrow necklace for Hawkeye.
Right, yeah.
But they couldn't have had, like, Tony, like, give Steve a phone?
Yeah, or, like, a watch or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Or, like, it's implied that Tony makes the weapons, right? Maybe it was like, oh, on this mission, Cap's not using his traditional shield. He's using some Stark tech thing that Tony made specifically for him.
Yeah, or his suit. A better protected suit. Yeah, that makes sense. Because, like, we see that with Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's half the point of Spider-Man, is we see Tony's influence and, like, he's trying to help this kid. And he's making suits for him. He's making iron fire suits.
Or it literally, like, and Natasha could have been like, damn, like, this dark tech is, like, A+, and it's, like, her Widow Bites, you know? Like, that kind of thing. Like, that's what I wish we got more of, like, throughout the movies, is, like, a lot of interspersed, like, talking about other characters that they don't physically need to show up, but the presence of that person in their lives could still be felt.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what I think was missing from, like, movies like that, where it's like, well, at least I could know, like, off screen this kind of stuff, or, like, maybe Tony or Steve makes some sort of reference to, like, oh, like, Tony's been helping me with this technology stuff, like, when he can.
Right, yeah.
Like, stuff like that. And it just didn't happen, and that was a disappointing thing for me.
That makes sense, yeah. Because there's, yeah, so much of the MCU, and what made the MCU so special is the way that it combined all of these massive franchises, but there's still a lot of gaps.
Yeah, and, like, I'm, like, still mad at a lot of inconsistencies. Like, I wish that someone just overhead was just like, hey, you started plotting this out in the first one, keep it that way. Like,
right.
I had an argument with a friend recently about Hawkeye and Black Widow and how, like, the first movie, they very clearly had feelings for each other. And then in Agents, or in Age of Ultron, all of a sudden he had a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, quite frankly, side note, total side note, we could have a whole episode about Hawkeye and how I wish they went in, like, a million different directions with him. Hawkeye's supposed to be deaf.
Yeah, we should have an episode about Hawkeye, honestly. Like, yeah.
Least developed character, but so much potential.
He could have been really cool. I don't know what was up, but they should have used him and Jeremy Renner way more.
I know, because Jeremy Renner is really funny, and Hawkeye does have, like, a, like...
He's like a manic sense of humor, like, doesn't he? Almost like
Deadpool-level humor.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, they have... It's not quite that far. Like, it's not quite at Deadpool levels, but, like, they could definitely tussle, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just don't know why they didn't do more with him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And I know people wanted him to do more.
Yeah.
And they just didn't.
Yeah. They also, we could do a whole episode about, we might anyways, but we should do a whole episode about, like, Black Widow.
Oh, absolutely. And how we're
finally getting a standalone movie for her.
I'm mad, but, though.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be weird. It's gonna be a time.
Okay, rant time.
Let's go. This is our specialty.
This is usually what happens after we hit stop recording. We start talking about episodes that we want to get into, and then I go on a rant. So I've been following these movies, give or take, since 2008. Probably really around 2010, like not strictly 2008. I feel like I got really into it when I was, like, in the seventh grade, and I feel like that was probably, like, 2009 or something. And, you know, the longer I was part of the fandom, the more I noticed that there were very few women in the series at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Widow makes her first appearance in Iron Man 2.
Yep.
Black Widow has probably one of the most interesting backstories, as she was raised as a child spy assassin.
Mm-hmm.
She takes herself away from that group and then becomes an assassin for hire, where Hawkeye, at least... I'm following some trajectory of the comics and some trajectory of what the films had shown us, where Hawkeye finds her and brings her into S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
At a perceived young-ish age.
Yeah. I would say, like, mid to early 20s.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, late 20s, early 30s by the time we meet her in Iron Man 2, right?
Probably. I would say maybe 30s.
Yeah, early to
mid-30s. I would say maybe 30s. Like, early 30s by that time. But that's also the other interesting part about Black Widow is that in the comic books, she has a little bit of super soldier serum in her, so we don't know her real age.
Oh, that's an interesting fun
fact. So she does not. She doesn't age. She doesn't age as much as the rest of the crew does. Similarly to probably Steve.
Right. Not quite as bad. Not quite as much, but to the same pace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it took 10 years to release the first film with a female lead is disgraceful.
Mm-hmm.
I love Marvel, clearly.
Yeah.
We both love Marvel, but this is the one thing that makes me the angriest.
Mm-hmm.
The slowness to diversity in the MCU makes me the angriest. Just including Black Widow in some of the movies is not enough.
Right.
She deserved her own origin story. I don't care that when we got her origin story, we already had been introduced to her, so it's like, oh, we already know where she ends up. We know where all of these characters end up. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Take us back to when she was a little girl. How did she get recruited to the Red Room? Did her parents sell her off? They didn't want another child. They couldn't afford another child. This is Russia. You have so many possibilities, like, to create this story. And then we never got anything, and it made me so mad. And then, freshman year of college, our college, it's 2014, and the Marvel releases Phase 3, and they say Captain Marvel is coming in 2018.
Right.
And at the time, I was just excited. I was excited, but I still was thinking, I was like, why is it taking them so long to make this movie? You know, like, why is it taking them so long? Like, why can't she be included earlier? And it's in the same thread of Guardians of the Galaxy, where it didn't have to be a story that connected to the other Avengers. It could have just been about her.
Yeah.
And you can know that she's, like, gonna come back, and maybe she'll be part of the rest of the team one day, but not necessarily right now. And like, knowing the story that she has now. But it took 10 fucking years.
Yeah.
10 years
for Black Widow should have had. Black Widow should have had her first standalone origin movie. Not even, like, Black Widow Hawkeye. Hawkeye could have just been in it right after Avengers. She blew up.
She needed it.
2012 after Avengers. Everyone wanted to know her story and Hawkeye's story. Mostly her story. And
you wanted to know what happened in Budapest.
Yeah, which is what her movie's gonna end up being about. But why they didn't do this 6 years ago in 2012, it's beyond me. Why?
I cannot even understand, like, that movie would have made bank.
It would have made so much money. The other thing that people don't understand about, like, oh, we're just peddling to, like, women and the people of color and the queers, is, like, you idiots.
You should.
You should, because it's just a thing that good media is. But also, we have money. Do you know how much money Crazy Rich Asians made? Do you know how much money Black Panther made?
Do you Captain know how Marvel much money made? Wonder Woman made?
Wonder Woman. It's just, why are you looking at this audience? Like, even from a stone cold, I love capitalism point of view, why are you looking at this sea of people and being like, we don't need their money. They're going to come to us anyways. Like, you fools.
Fools. I would be 10,000% more on board with Marvel if they had released this movie 6 years ago. And the thing that also makes me mad is that it took them 10 years to release Captain Marvel in the first place. Actually, 11 years, because it did come out in 2019, and this series has been coming out since 2008. So there we go. It was said to be released in 2008. I remember putting a countdown on my phone going, I'm going to graduate college by the time this movie comes out.
Ugh.
And I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, finally there's going to be a female-led superhero movie. I'm so excited. Let's go. Let's do this. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy. I was so excited. And then the closer, like, the more time passed, oh, actually, we're pushing back Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to come out in April of 2018. It's going to come out in whenever the hell it came out.
Or like March 2019. Something.
It got pushed more in March 2019. It came out on, like, International Women's Day. It got pushed again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, why?
Yeah.
Like, what purpose does that serve? And quite frankly, it just is bullshit. It's just bullshit. Like, I don't understand why this company doesn't think about making more cohesive stories about different types of people. Like, I understand why they picked the core five that they did to start the franchise with, you know? Like, I understand picking Thor and Captain America and Iron Man and Black Widow and Hawkeye and Hulk, or six, there's six of them. Yeah. I understand why that those were those, like, six main characters that they decided to start the Avengers with. But immediately after that, they could have branched out. Or they just could have made the freaking Black Widow movie. Like, yeah. I remember, like, literally being on Tumblr and being like, so many people want this movie. Why aren't they making it?
Truly. I'm also really surprised that Marvel didn't put a rush order on Captain Marvel after Wonder Woman came out.
I know!
Wonder Woman did so well because it was such a good movie, but overall, everyone knows the DCEU fails when it counts and the MCU pulls through, so why did they wait longer?
Well, and also, like, for me, like, I might have cried watching Wonder Woman.
That is totally valid. I definitely did.
And, like, quite frankly, I might cry talking about it right now. Like, being able to go see that movie and see someone who you can see yourself in a series or in a genre that you have invested so much of your money and time in, feels good.
It's so hard to describe because that is a feeling of you never realized what was missing.
You don't
until you see it.
Like, I went and saw that movie and I remember watching it and I remember noticing how, like, her thighs jiggled and how, like, she had this presence in the film that you don't see women have. And I remember, like, after the fact realizing that there were no, like, money shots.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't some, like, obnoxious, like, right at the ass shot and then, like, a pan up or anything with her chest or anything. And the fact that the end of the movie is just, like, her coming into her own, but, like, you also know that she, from the beginning, was the most powerful person, like, in a room at any given time. Like, I there's no words to describe how good it feels to see yourself reflected in a film like that, in a genre that you like. Like, I know that there are female, like, led movies all over, like, cinema, but I'm not nearly as invested in, like, comedies as I am in comic books.
Right.
So when I saw that, it's just like, to see her be the most powerful person on screen just felt so good. And when Black Panther happened, like, I was hoping, like, that feeling that I had watching Wonder Woman, I wanted that feeling for all the black people who went to go see that movie.
Right? And Black Panther did that, and they delivered that because they had a strong just black family unit, and not just, like, the strong black man that was T'Challa and then Killmonger in his own way, but also, like, Okoye.
Strong black women. Like,
Shuri? It's... However you felt watching, like, not just you and me as non-black people, but however people just, like, felt watching and feeling the, like, the joy and the uplift, how uplifting Black Panther was, just imagine that for being an actual black person.
Yeah.
I can't.
And then, yeah, and then, like, that same feeling again, like, where Crazy Rich Asians was coming out, and I was like, I hope this does everything that, like, Wonder Woman did again, you know?
Right?
Like, I hope it, like, gives that same feeling.
Yeah, and that's what we've been missing. We didn't realize we were missing it, but that's what we've been missing from this franchise that we have paid attention to for a decade, for most of our life. And it's what we've been missing for 10 years.
Yeah. So, again, total bullshit. And
yeah.
quite frankly, in Endgame, that scene where all the women come together, yeah, I fell for it when I first watched it. And I was like, oh my God, like, they're all, like, right there. That's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Why are they all working together in that moment, you know? Because,
they've never met each other.
They've never spoken to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the only two people who have spoken to each other, and it was in freaking passing in Infinity War, were Scarlet Witch and Okoye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, again, it was nice to see, on paper, it was nice to see that scene. Because it was great, and, like, overall, there are really great female characters in the MCU. But it wasn't until you pointed out that scene was totally unearned when I thought about it and I saw it again. I was like, yeah, that scene is totally unearned. It's amazing visually and, like, emotionally, but they didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it.
They didn't deserve to put that in their movie because why are they interacting at all? Why?
Mm.
Also, I'm still mad at putting Pepper in the fight at all. And I...
Let's get into that, because I want to know why. Because I liked seeing Pepper in the suit, because she is such a pivotal role in the MCU. I'm glad she was there at all. But I understand why you don't like her doing the thing she's always hated.
I'm not mad that she was there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not mad that she was there. I'm mad that she was in the suit. Like... I just don't... Since the very first Iron Man, she's been against Tony being in that suit. Like, she has been against the fighting. She's been against what it's done to him. She's been against him putting himself in danger like that. Mm-hmm. Time and time again, she tells him that she doesn't like the violence. She doesn't like living like this. In Iron Man 3, she starts packing up their clothes after he gave their home address to the world, and she was like, nope, we're getting out of here, like, this is done. She gets put in the suit immediately, and not in Iron Man 3, and it was immediately taken away from her because she wasn't meant to fight in it. She was meant to Tony was just protecting her. Like, that wasn't what that was. It was just protection. And maybe within the last 5 years, something about her mentality has changed about fighting in the suit, which is why Tony was making her a suit in the first place. But they didn't show us that. They didn't show us that. And you know what? You know how easy it would have been to show us something like that if there was some sort of change of heart in the last 5 years? And when that would make sense, too. It would make sense if she had some sort of change of heart in the last 5 years about fighting after something like Thanos would happen. I'm talking really fast because I'm mad. It would be as simple as showing the home gym and, like, maybe she's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's, like, working out on a bag or something. And, like, Tony, it's right after he's, like, realized the whole time travel thing. And he's just, like, you know, leaning against the door. Right. It's like, oh, you want to spar or something? Like, maybe, like, Pepper does some sort of one-liner about, like, you know, we gotta protect our daughter, like, from any threat like Thanos or something like that. Maybe, like, that would have been enough for me to be like, okay, well, they've built it up. Like, she will wear the suit, like, from that scene alone. The movie was 3 hours long. They could have had that in it, you know? Yeah. Like, easily. Mm-hmm. They could have had a 2-second scene where that happened. And then I could have been like, fine, cool, like, she's changed her mind about it. But also in Iron Man 3, she's very, like, she does that whole fight scene, and, like, literally right after it, she's like, that was very violent, like, she didn't, like, it wasn't her doing that, it was the stuff in her.
Yeah. And even, so, like...
Unearned. Her in the suit is unearned, too.
Yeah, because it was great to see her... there. And I did like the scene of the, you know, it was a classic spin, and they're both flying in the suits and they're fighting back to back. And I was like, that was nice. That was nice to see, but
that's even... also a classic Tony Rhodey move. Like, I would have been more psyched to see that again, to see Tony and Pepper fight for the first time together.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And I get wanting to have her there for when he dies. I get that. Yeah. But I also don't understand why Pepper was there, like, as like, I'm not a parent, but, like, she's a parent. And
yeah.
To willingly put both parents on the line there.
Honestly. Where, like,
both of you could die. I don't understand.
She had the suit. I'm surprised she didn't just, like, I don't know, not wear the suit or at the house, but, you know. Wear the suit at the house. Protect Morgan, anyways. It was a lot of delivery with a no setup. Which, yeah. Which had the, like, emotional payoff, but when you think about it, you're just like, wait. What is the through line that brought us here?
You know what I would have loved?
Hmm.
If it literally took 5 years to make this movie. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
like,
man.
From Infinity War to Endgame, there was 5 years in which we got the in-between.
Mm.
Or they could have just not jumped 5 years. Maybe they jumped 2 years or something instead.
Mm. Yeah.
And, like, we got that in-between.
Yeah.
I would have loved that. Because then we're getting to see, like, how the world is functioning without half of the population. Like,
right.
Clearly some of the teams would have been completely defunct. Like, there is no, like, Guardians of the Galaxy anymore. But maybe we're seeing Nebula rebuild a Guardians of the Galaxy or something, like, or Nebula and Rocket, because it's just the two of them now, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you're seeing them rebuild some sort of team, because I'm pretty sure in the comics, Guardians of the Galaxy are as interchanging, like, constantly different type
that makes
crew
sense.
In the way that the Avengers are. There's a ton of different Avengers, and there's a ton of different Guardians. Like, I'm pretty sure Tony becomes a Guardian at one point in the comics.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Huh.
Yeah. So, like, it would have been interesting to see that for a little while before going back and seeing how they fix the snap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Overall, I really do love the MCU, and I think it's done a lot for me personally. Like, Lily, would we even be friends if we didn't have the MCU in common, like, quite frankly?
Yeah, I have no idea. Because, like, I think...
We would still be friends because we would be, like, Avatar Teen Titans. Like,
right? Like, we have enough other things in common, but we definitely wouldn't... Like, I think, for listeners at home, Sabrina and I have hung out 4 times before we started this podcast.
Was it 4? I feel like that's very small.
I was thinking, like, just us, because the Olympics, I don't count. That was its own thing. Because the Olympics also brought us together, because I was over at her house a lot.
Yeah.
But that was also for her...
That was mostly for my roommate, Elise.
Right.
Because she's the one who's really into the Olympics.
Yeah. So, maybe not 4 times, but we hung out very few times throughout
very
our college
rarely.
Career. And then... We graduated, and then I was over at our house, like, once a week
from,
the entire summer.
Yeah, this podcast is why we're friends.
Yeah.
Or why we've continued to be friends post-college.
Truly. Yeah, honestly, if we didn't have this and you went to Thailand, I'd be like, I guess Sabrina's in Thailand.
Yeah, you'd just be, like, quietly, like, looking at my, like, stories, and, like, that's it. That would be it, and there's nothing else to say about that.
But yeah, the MCU, one, it's changed the game for pop culture.
Truly.
I would love to read that think piece and or PhD master's thesis thing about how the MCU has influenced pop culture, because it's nuts.
Because it has, like, definitely.
It's a massive undertaking. It's been a creative force. It's revived and started incredible amounts of careers. Not just the actors, but the directors and creative teams. Lord knows, like, the NDA, like, non-disclosure agreement culture that it started, right?
Ugh.
Like,
We didn't even talk about nuts. That.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it's just the NDA culture. I'm sorry. I just hate it. Yeah. I hate so much of it.
Yeah. It's nuts. And yeah, it's just, it's the MCU as a cultural thing in its own has done so much. And then, yeah, in our own personal lives, like half the reason I love tech so much and I really love tech is probably because of 2008 Iron Man.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that I'm doing like this assignment with my students right now where it's like, create an advertisement for new technology. It doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to be based in reality. It can just be like a time machine or something.
Right.
There is at least one group in each of my classes doing something based off of Iron Man tech.
Right.
Like hologram table, hologram watch, like Iron Man suit, like.
Yeah. And like in 2008, those graphics of him working at the table, that was huge. That was big.
So cool.
That was so cool. So there's just a bunch of like random things that like people will laugh because everyone always does at major pop culture franchises. Like people laugh at Star Wars, Star Trek, Game of Thrones, and of course the MCU gets thrown in there. But it's done a lot. It's influenced a lot and it means a lot to the people invested in this.
Yeah. Because it's the first time that someone tried to basically do the TV thing but with movies.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and yeah. By the TV thing, I mean, like, actually delve deep into characters over a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was awesome. Like, it's very possible for us to just kind of, at Endgame, literally just end. Like, we're done. We're done with it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's going to keep going because it has that sort of staying power. And, and like, the universe is just so rich.
Yeah.
And it has the possibility of being so diverse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just so much more. There's still a lot of untapped potential that goes into these movies.
Yeah. And, like, also Marvel fatigue, superhero fatigue, totally real.
It's real.
It's so real. I felt it. And I think I mentioned, I felt it leading up to Spider-Man and Ragnarok. I was just like, when is this going to end? What is the point of this investment? And that's what it takes, like, new, interesting, outside Taika Waititi voices to revive and revamp these things.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you could walk away after Endgame. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's also interesting to see, like, where could this possibly end up going?
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also wondering, is Black Panther 2 going to be about how, like, T'Challa's back from being dusted after 5 years, and so is Shuri? There was no royal family. We don't know if the mother got snapped or not. Who was in charge?
Right. Yeah, especially because the way Black Panther itself ended, it's they finally opened up to the world, and then their leaders, the country's leaders, just like poofed.
Their leaders and their lead scientist, like.
Yeah. So I think some of Ryan Coogler's talked a little bit about that, of they're going to try and write around and or right before the snap, because I think Ryan Coogler wants to focus on Wakanda open to the world.
That's the annoying part of the snap, too, is that, like, they so many of these post-Endgame movies are going, screw you, we're writing about stuff that happened before Infinity War.
Yeah. So that's why Far From Home is going to be super interesting, is because they're dealing with the direct impact of Infinity War Endgame.
I think it's the only planned one that is...
Yeah.
Talking about post Endgame.
That makes sense. Because it also, someone else and I were talking about how it throws off all of the ages now. Because if Ned survived, he's 5 years older than Peter now.
Ned didn't survive. So,
right?
Apparently, once you do the math, random snapped all of the people that conveniently, like, were Peter's friends so that when they go back to high school, everyone's the same age.
Right? Yeah, so there's a lot of things that, like, it's going to be messy. The post-cleanup is going to be kind of messy for everyone to, like, tie off. But I think there's also going to be a fair bit of, like, retconning and convenient plot
devices. But we're also going to get more into that when we actually get to our endgame episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because we haven't actually talked about that yet.
Yeah.
We definitely did follow through on our promise of this being a random episode we've just filled with...
Yeah, this one places. We also...
Who knows what?
This is not as much Tony Stark as I was expecting.
I just feel it like we've talked about it enough, you know? Like...
Yeah, we... It's no one... Anyone who's listened to us knows that we were Tony Stark Defense Squad.
Literally every single time we will record an episode that has nothing to do with him. And then still talk about him.
Yep. Wait, which episode did you want to... put in the Tony Stark brother.
Oh my god! Yes. Yeah. Okay. You know what? Should we just finish up? Like, I'll just pop it in right here and then we're gonna, like, wrap up and leave?
Why not?
Is that how we should end this?
Yeah.
Alright. So, way back when, when we were recording, I think, like, Captain America, like, the very first one.
Yeah.
I revealed some information to Lily about Tony Stark and his family that I found out via fanfiction. And I'm gonna pop in that clip right here for you to listen and enjoy. We also meet Howard Stark in this film.
Yes, we do.
And I learned something recently about the Stark family within the comic books, and that is that Howard Stark has two children. Lily has a face on right now.
What?
I found out that Tony Stark has a twin brother named Gregory.
Twin?
Yes.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes.
I kind of hate that.
Isn't that so crazy?
That's so weird. Oh, comic books are wild.
This is why I waited until we were recording to tell you this.
I mean, like, a part of me is like, yes, Tony needs human companionship so he doesn't have to keep building his friends, but at the same time, like, that's a completely, totally different Tony Stark if he had a twin brother that was also, hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully, but, like, hopefully equally neglected by his father.
So here's the thing. The twin's name is Gregory. And on the, like, wiki fan page of Gregory is a quote from Nick Fury. And let me read that quote. Hold on. The man's a damn nightmare, but he's 10 times smarter than Tony is and completely amoral. In other words, just the kind of guy I like doing business with.
He's the Mycroft to Sherlock. They're just born at the same time.
I guess. He's also, like, technically the older brother.
He's the Mycroft to Sherlock!
Yeah.
Alright.
Which I think is... crazy! I couldn't believe when I found this out. Like, I was...
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I found this out because I was reading fanfiction and someone was like, Gregory's here, Tony. And he was like, I don't want to deal with my stupid brother. And I was like, what? What? I was like, did you just make up a brother for Tony? So I looked it up. And it was legit!
Oh, that's so weird. I mean, this is why we don't discuss the comics, because this is a whole other thing, and we're just going to focus on the MCU. But can you imagine an MCU? Like, who would they cast as RDJ's twin brother? Or would they just put, like, a mustache on him and call him Gregory?
I do not know. But we should get back to Howard Stark.
This still somehow turned into a rant on Iron Man.
I know, we didn't mean it to. But we're going to get back to Howard Stark. I've been dying to tell Lily this for, like, weeks, so... This is my excuse. Howard's in this movie, so I had to say that he has two sons. Okay, moving on. Howard Stark.
That it's truly a TBT for the ages.
TBT for the ages, yeah. Right. Okay, I hope you guys enjoyed that. I don't even remember how that conversation went, so as of right now from recording, I'm like, I hope that was still entertaining.
Yeah, I hope that was funny.
Yeah.
If not, it's funny for us.
I literally was reading Steggy fanfiction or something like that. Or Stony. I was either reading Steggy or Stony. Because those are my two, like, mains when it comes to Steve.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if it was, like, so Tony, like, Tony was prominently in it, I was definitely reading Stony.
Right.
And it was, like, Tony was in the hospital, and then his brother tried to show up. Oh. incredible. Just incredible.
That's nuts. That's truly nuts. Oh, my God. I can't wait to hear this now.
Well, at this point, it's already been played in the episode.
I know.
We're just, like, reminiscing. Like, like, what do we remember of that day, like... in June last year.
Yeah,
we cut it out because the episode was too long.
It was too long, and also it was one of those things that we loved, but we didn't know where it would fit. And now I'm glad we can specifically
bring it
put
back
in our 1 year. This is wild.
All right. Okay, I think that's it. Like, I hope anyone who's been listening has enjoyed our podcast.
Yeah.
We love what we do. We hope you love what we do.
Yeah.
But other than, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that we're starting to catch up with the MCU. Because when we plotted it out a year ago, it was so much content. But with we're going to catch up probably by the end of the summer, if not sooner.
Yeah, and then so, we're going to have to rethink what Earth's Mightiest Fangirls is.
Yeah. It's going to be wild.
Because we were a Marvel recap podcast, but maybe after we catch up to, like, Spider-Man, we're just a podcast that talks about fangirly things.
Right? We've thrown ideas around. Let us know what you think, but we've thrown ideas around of, like, being just, like, a Teen Titans, going into the X-Men, stuff like that.
Yeah, like, I think Earth's Mightiest Fangirls is vague enough that we can definitely, like, go into lots of other content and talk about it in a way that, like, you know, like, we still are a Marvel podcast, like, we have all of the Marvel content on here, but there's no reason for us to not be talking about other things that we fangirl about.
And there are many.
There are many. There are lots of mutual things that we fangirl. These are our secret post-production talks that you never really listen to, but here we are. Here we are just talking about it on I was gonna say camera.
I was gonna say on air. This is air.
I guess this is air. Live. Oh, well. We can always cut this out, but we're probably not. Because hey, we don't care anymore.
Joyce being our own editors and producers.
Yeah. Alright. In the spirit of the MCU, we're going to try and be around for as long as the MCU is around.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
And as you know, we'll be with you till the end of... You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can check out the podcast at EMFangirls. You can check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com, and you can shoot us an email at emfangirls@gmail.com. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and our website.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us, as we've said multiple times throughout this, for editing and producing internationally.
Remember when we were gonna, like, split that up? Like, I was gonna do Dexter Britton sometimes, and you were gonna do the social media sometimes, and then that didn't happen?
No, we have a whole thing. Like, we know the cadence of... I know the exact cadence that you say the outro. Just, like, I know the exact cadence that I say the outro every time.
And it's the same thing at the beginning, too, where it was, like, we were gonna, like, trade off, and then sometimes, like, I would say, like, Earth's Mightiest Fangirls, and sometimes you were gonna say it, and then it didn't happen.
Yep.
As I remember you saying, I have a lot more fun saying our title than you do.
Yeah, you do. It's fun. I don't mind. It's great.
So, yeah. All right. That was our post-goodbye, and now we're finally actually saying goodbye.
Yep. All right, I'm stopping.